Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Cooing, sitting up, and crawling are signs that a baby is growing. A baby's vision has stages of development, but this process rarely has visible signs. 100,000 infants a year are at risk for vision disorders, and 1 in 10 young children have an eye problem that could have been diagnosed sooner. How can you get vision help for free? I'm Dr. Lisa Weiss, optometrist with Infant C, and this is Parent Savers, episode 32.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome to Parent Savers, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Casey Wilt. Parent Savers is all about helping new parents from the baby years through the toddler years. So download the free app, sign up for the free newsletter, like us on Facebook, send us an email, or call our hotline. This is your show, and we want you to be involved. We have amazing experts at our fingertips, so shoot us a line, and we'll get your questions answered. We also have a very new option of joining our Parent Savers Club, and it's where you can download the archived episodes and get exclusive content and more. I am a new parent. My son Carson is 23 months old, and I'm joined by two new parents here in the studio.
Hi, my name is Owen. I'm 32. I have a small video marketing company in Oceanside, and I have three kids. I have Kanan, who's 5, Jameson is 16 months, and Benjamin is 5 months old.
My name is John O'Reill. I'm a 38-year-old writer from here in San Diego, and I have three boys as well, a 5-year-old named Quinner, a 3-year-old Whitaker, and a 1-year-old Zyler. And as far as I know, they can all see fine.
Those are some interesting names. Though.
I know.
I don't think I was ever conscious of your kids' names before.
No.
Yeah, I think unique names are a great way to go. Maybe we could talk about that in a different episode, some unique names. I'd be happy to be there.
In our segment, The Best Apps for New Parents, we are reviewing the Baby Connect app from C-Cloud Software for our iPhone and our iPad. All of our panelists here in the studio have tested the app, as well as some of our Facebook and Twitter friends. So let's start our discussion here in the studio. What do you guys think of the app?
You can track pretty much everything on this app.
I know.
There's so many categories.
There are, and there's also photos and things like that. So I registered my youngest, who's still nursing and all that stuff. But then as I started exploring the app, I added Jameson as well, just for the pictures. I really like the idea of being able to chart his sleeping, especially because we talked about napping on the show a few weeks back and taking pictures of him. And then, you know, at the end of a year, you have a chart that shows that growth and development. So I think that was pretty neat.
And that's what's cool about this app is not only are you keeping track of it, but then it turns it into some really cool visual charts and ways to look at what's happening.
Yeah, and you had told me, you know, when they had asked me to try the app out, they said, hey, you know, it's not a real gamey app. It's may not be like a dad app. And I can see that. You know, I'm into social media. I like trivia games and the Scrabble type games. This, I think, is a real mom-dominated app because my wife, for example, does take notes, and there's like, it's, I can't read the writing. My wife has her own way of...
Yeah, her own code.
Her own code. And then she gives that to the daycare providers. Mom signs up and then loops dad in.
I know, I was just going to say that. You have a one kid on your app, and then your husband on his phone can dial into the same app, and your child care provider can dial into the same app. So
that's what's really cool.
If your mom's at work, and you know, you want to keep tabs on your kid, and they just put into the their phone and dial into the same kid how long he slept, how long he ate, all that
And you
stuff.
Don't need the app. I mean, every app just about has its counterpart on the web. So, you know, there's you can go on to the web, I believe, and actually, so grandma is not so friendly with the iPhone, no problem, just log onto the computer. You can have it set up as a bookmark. And that's what I liked about it, is that it answered all the questions that I would text my wife when I first started taking over the kids in the daytime and in the late afternoon. It's like, oh, well, You know, she's like, when did the baby eat last? And I'm like, I don't know.
And the coolest feature on this one, according to my wife, as she's tracking stuff, is, you know, to be able to track which side you last fed the baby on. It makes it really simple to do.
Yeah,
you did
it does.
Feeding on the left side, feeding on the right side. Because that's always the question she'd ask herself in the middle of the night. Like, oh, man, what do I do next?
Yeah, exactly.
I definitely agree. She was giddy with excitement when she saw all the stuff that was there.
She wanted to have another baby.
Exactly. But I was a little overwhelmed at the options. But you don't have to use all the options either. It's a great app.
We've got some reviews from some of our Facebook fans and some of our bloggers out there.
Hi, my name is Leila, and I've been using the Baby Connect app since my daughter Genevieve was born. I actually downloaded it in the hospital the night of because I had to record all of her diaper changes and feedings on a piece of paper, and it was kind of cumbersome, and it was a lot easier to do with one hand. And what I really like about the app is that it tells me how long it's been in between feedings and which boob she nursed on last. And then it can also break it down into tables and show me when she feeds more often, which I found was at night. And so it's really nice because your brain cells are kind of donated to your child after those first few weeks. And then another thing I really like about the app is the weight in the medical section. I can enter her weight at doctor's appointments. It's well worth the $4.99 price. I think it's the first app I've actually ever paid for, and it is the best $5 I've spent in a long time.
Hi, this is Anna Drostek-Lewinsky. I really love this app. It has a lot of great features for any family with a newborn or older baby. You can really track all aspects of your baby's life from feeding to diaper changes, activities, and even their moods. It has a great tool to track doctor's visits, heights, weights, and other health information. I would highly recommend this to any parent. Even though the $4.99 price is more than I would usually pay for an iPhone app, I would easily pay this and recommend someone else paying this as well. I highly recommend the Baby Connect app. Thank you.
Stay tuned to our Facebook page for details on how you can win this app.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Today on Parent Savers, we have Dr. Lisa Wise, optometrist with Infancy, here to talk with us about infant vision. And I want to thank Debbie Hansen for recommending this show topic to us. If you have a show topic that you want us to explore, send us an email and we'll look into it. So Dr. Wise, why do you recommend getting your baby's eyes tested at 6 months?
Well, most of us know, or all of us know that have babies, that we take our baby to the pediatrician every first week, make sure they're gaining weight. Second week, make sure they're gaining weight. Third week, make sure they're gaining weight, make sure they're growing, make sure this and that. But what people don't understand is that those same markers are true in the visual system when the infant is developing. So we can track and make sure that the things in the visual system that need to be developing are doing that on time and in the right way so that future problems can be prevented later on.
How does it work when you go from a little bitty baby to 6 months? I know when they're first born, they don't see very clearly or they don't see very far in front of them. Do they see black and white like dogs? Is this such an ignorant question?
No, that's fine. They don't see very far away. So the main thing is that what they need to do is they need to be able to see as far as the mom's face when they're nursing. And that's how the vision starts developing. So that eye contact, and that if you're nursing or if you're bottle feeding, that eye contact is crucial because that's how they're going to start developing face recognition for knowing the mom's face, knowing the caregiver's faces, the father's face. And it starts from there. So they start at a very short distance and their vision starts developing and developing as they grow till they see like the normal, what we would consider to be 20 20/20 vision. They also respond most strongly to very high contrast stimuli. So that's why you see all of the toys and the different developmental things that are black and white and red, very, very high contrast. And that helps develop their vision as well.
So by 6 months, do they start to have, you know, 20/20 vision, or when does that start?
Yeah, not typically. So 6 months, the reason why we use a cutoff of 6 months is that that's when the eyes are starting to aim together. Sometimes when babies are born, you know that their eyes sometimes don't look like they're aiming in the same place.
Right.
So that's a good age that there's a lot of skills that are supposed to be kind of there right now. It's a very easy time to check a baby too, because they're not going anywhere. They're very responsive to the things that you're showing them in terms of stimulation or to test their vision. And they're not protesting. They're not too.
Yeah.
We got a question here on the Twitter feed. If you're on Twitter or the social media, you can follow us at #ParentSavers or #Parenting. We're posting on both. But the question is, what are some factors that will put the child at risk for visual impairment? And I'm going to couple that with my own question about what are some of the symptoms. You know, we had a friend of ours, their child, as soon as they would put him on the ground, he would run. And turns out he's farsighted. So he would run to what they were trying, what he could see. So what are some of the symptoms that we might see, and are kids not being diagnosed?
Right. Well, the reason why we put together the infancy program was because most things happen in the visual system you can't outwardly see. So unless your child is born and within 2 months you see an eye that is like turning into his nose, his or her nose, you know, you're going to see that. That's very obvious. You're going to take them in. Any other things, very serious things, such as cancer, you cannot see those things. There's no outwardly symptoms of that. If there's a large prescription in the eye that needs glasses, outwardly, parent, you're not going to see that. Some things that you may see, and this is again why we suggest between 6 months and a year, because some things you may see are, you know, again, you're going to the pediatrician. Are they rolling over? Are they crawling? Mm-hmm. Are they starting to move? If they're not starting to move, it's strongly indicated that it can be a vision problem that's causing that. Because think about it, if you don't see anything, where are you going to want to go?
Yeah. Right.
You know, and so it strongly influences that. I've had a patient. He's about 4 now, but he came in when he was about, you know, between that 6-8 month range. And luckily I had seen all the older kids of this, you know, this son. And so they were already aware of what I did and what, you know, mm-hmm. and how important it is. Anyways, I checked his vision and it turns out that he was very, very, very farsighted. So he couldn't see, I mean, very far in front of his face at all. And just by putting on glasses, starts moving, starts crawling, starts walking. And this is like at 8 months.
Hmm.
So you're not going to always see something, which is why we really strongly recommended the screening.
Are there some factors that maybe families are doing that, or that moms should or shouldn't do, that can maybe impair their kids' visions without them even knowing about it? Like if you feed your baby under a bright spotlight or in a pitch black room or
like an interrogation room.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you like the peaches?
Yeah. Or even if your spouse has eye vision, is there any risks like that?
So there are risk factors that are good to have in mind that may put your child at more of a high risk for vision problems. So if you have a healthy pregnancy and a normal birth and development, those are really good signs. If it's a difficult pregnancy and a difficult birth or a premature birth, those are some things that can cause. Sometimes when babies are premature, their eye doesn't develop fully. So they can become very, very farsighted. Hmm. And then they can't focus on anything. And so that can really impede development later on, in the 6 month, 8 month, when they're starting to move and walk around. If there's a family history of any significant vision problems, such as someone has a turned eye, or you know of a family member that has a lazy eye, or you've heard of a family member that, I think I had eye surgery for something when I was a baby. You know, those are things that definitely, you know,
can be passed down.
Mm-hmm.
Are there children with eye and vision problems that are not getting diagnosed because most people go to their pediatrician and the pediatrician is supposed to look at these things? So are their kids falling through the cracks?
Well, pediatricians are very, very good at what they do. They're not eye specialists.
Got it.
You know, they're generalists in a lot of things. So when your child goes and gets, you know, an older child goes and gets the eye test far away, it's not telling you anything about how their vision is working up close. And if you think of where our elementary school kids spend most of their time, it's up close. So with the infant checks at the pediatrician, they're checking for those big things like cancer, We don't want to miss that, you know, the eye. That's very, very, very scary, life-threatening. But they're not checking things like tracking. We can also check how well the child's seeing. You asked me about 20/20, but we can measure in an infant, even when they can't respond, we can measure, are they 20/50? Are they 20/80? Is one eye developing different than the other? Are the eyes learning to track? Are they learning to work together? Are they learning to focus? The pediatricians don't check that. So their job is to check the very, very big, very scary things. But what we do is we check the things that are going to affect them as they develop.
Well, as they grow older, do they get different vision problems? So let's say my child right now has great vision, but, you know, when he's five, something it may trigger. Does that work? Does it change?
It can change all the time. Hmm. It can change all the time. And in fact, we're finding a lot more vision problems in kids, in young kids, because of the amount of homework, the amount of computer, the amount of iPads, the amount of iPhones. You know, they're kids come to my office, they're all on their little touches. So we're finding a vision, your vision, just like anything else. So it's not like our brain stops developing, our brain doesn't stop growing. We can always, things are always changing. So same thing in kids, you know, you're born one way, which again, you get the vision screening and you continue getting your eye exams every year, then it's very easy for us to detect, oh, you know, something's different from last year. What's causing that? What's going on? What's happening in this kid's environment with school? What's happening in their eyes? What's happening in their health? And again, that's why we recommend.
Thank you. So when we come back, we'll talk about what an infant vision assessment looks like and how you can bring your child to an infancy provider and get a free assessment. We'll be back. Today on Parent Savers, we have Dr. Lisa Wise, and she's an optometrist with Infancy here, and she's going to help us learn about what Infancy is. So why should I take my child to an Infancy provider?
So what Infancy is a network of providers. We're all dedicated to, you know, treatment and prevention of kids with eye problems, and we all know how to examine a six-month-old. How do you do that? You know, how do you examine a six-month-old? How do you examine an eight-month-old? And what things do you need to look for? So all the providers that are willing to do this service have some knowledge and some expertise in that area.
How do you monitor vision?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. What do you do?
I know. I get that question all the time when I say, bring your baby in. Really? I didn't know you could check them. So if any of you have had an eye exam before, I can absolutely do every single test that you do as adults, I can do on an infant. It's just a different test. So I can measure their visual acuity, how clearly they see. I can measure their eye teaming. I can measure their focusing. A lot of it is largely objective. The other really important thing is that it gives us a chance to really talk to the parent who brings them in so that we can determine, again, were there any factors, that risk factors that the child might have. So, you know, we talk to the parent. Was it a normal pregnancy? Was it a normal birth? Did they meet their early developmental milestones? And that helps us figure out. But it's largely objective. It's largely observational. But there are a lot of tests that we can do. And I was thinking about this earlier because I knew I was going to get asked that. And what I tell my patients is you got to bring your kid in to see. Because it's pretty incredible that we can test them and we really can.
What about some of the more subjective tests? Like my kid's running into doorways, or my kids, like, you know, when our friends told us, we saw Bryden with these big glasses on him. It's like, how did you even know that he was farsighted? Well, it was an optometrist who said, your kid, as soon as you put him down, he starts running, he can't see. You know, and then my son runs into walls and stuff like that. We took him to get to, he's just silly. My cousin, different story. He was running into things because he couldn't see them. So what are some of these things that a parent might need to look for that statistically, again, it's subjective, but statistically you've seen or you've heard in your office that could indicate some vision problems?
Yeah, we get a lot of that, running into things, again, not developing on time and properly.
And that can be anything from language or...
Language, language. Again,
height or weight or
no,
any of that stuff?
Not physically, but cognitively, behaviorally, and then emotionally as well.
So not hitting those milestones.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Okay. And then, you know, parents will bring in because kids are rubbing their eyes, or kids are complaining of a headache, or you know, or teachers will say something, or daycare providers will say something. You know, they're used to knowing what other kids that age are supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And one of the very first things you should do if you have any concern is get a vision exam, whether it's infancy from between 6 months and a year, or whether it's an older child.
So that's my next question. Is there an age cutoff for the free assessment with infancy?
So the infancy assessment is designed for kids 6 months to 1 year.
Okay.
And it's completely free of charge if you go to an infancy provider. It's completely free of charge. And again, it's a service to get those kids off in the right direction. We can diagnose things that you don't know are there, and it's a no-brainer, you know, really.
Yeah. Well, how do you find a local infancy provider?
So there are infancy providers all over the country. If you go to the website, which is infancy.org.
And it's C-S-E-E.
Yes, and I'll spell it. It's infantsee.org. And you can find providers in your area.
So if your child's older than 1 year, it's, you know, forget it.
Well, no, don't forget it. I mean, I still, you know, I deal with pediatrics. You know, we have a lot of us that deal with kids only. And we recommend every single year, every single year. And there are ways to do that. There are lots of insurance plans will cover eye exams. If not, you know, lots of low-income programs cover eye exams. There are screening buses that often go to, and this is just all over.
Like RVs?
Yeah, that go over and do screenings. I mean, a lot of people, you know, are interested in making sure kids get off on the right start.
Well, I didn't realize how important this, I mean, we all know how our vision's important as well, but you just kind of expect, oh, your kid's going to see, and then if he doesn't, then somebody will notice and he'll get glasses, you know? And I wish I knew about this before, but after 6 months, that my kid could go and get his vision tested.
Yeah, and I don't think the optometrist is like the dentist. you know, like as a parent, it's like you got your general practitioner and your dentist. And even for us, like dental, I was educated on that by a client who was like, yeah, these different symptoms that we can look for early, you know, like sleep apnea and stuff like this, or dental problems. As a kid growing up, I went to the doctor, I went to the dentist. I didn't go to the eye doctor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's something that parents should, or you know, could value from, is including that in your standard list of things to do, people to visit.
Well, and it's so cool that infancy provides it for free. They're trying to get the word out.
Yeah, that, and again, just diagnosing and being able to get things early and prevent them. When we can diagnose things early in infants like that, the chances of being able to fix those things is so easy. Or just eliminate the problem altogether, so that by the time the child is kindergarten age, they don't have the problem anymore. Mm-hmm. The eye isn't crossed. The eye isn't lazy. They have glasses, so they were able to walk and see and learn and develop same as their peers.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Lisa Wise, for helping us learn about infancy. If you want more information, go to today's show on our episodes page on our website or visit infancy.org. Our conversation will continue with Dr. Wise after the show for our Parent Savers Club members. See our website to sign up. Before we wrap up today's show, here is a question for one of our experts.
Hi, my name's Jen. I'm from San Diego. I have a 7-month-old and I breastfeed. And I recently started working out and noticed a drop in my milk supply. I noticed the same thing when I started just cutting calories to try to diet, similar to like the Weight Watchers plan, not officially doing it. So I'm just wondering if there's something I can do, because I've got this baby weight and I'd really love to get rid of it, because I still just want to keep on breastfeeding, and we're trying to do this for at least a year, if not longer. So would like to hear if there's any ideas on what I can do to help with weight loss as well as, you know, keeping my supply. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, this is Robin Kaplan. I am the host and moderator of the Boob Group. So Jen, there are a couple different ways that you can continually, you know, lose that baby weight but also maintain your milk supply. So the first thing is that a breastfeeding mom really needs about an extra 300 to 500 calories per day that she needed over what she needed to maintain her pre-pregnancy weight to really keep a sturdy milk supply. So whatever calorie intake you had before you got pregnant and that helped you kind of maintain that happy weight that you're looking to get back to now, you really need about 300 to 500 calories more than that a day to really keep up your supply. And really, a healthy, well-nourished breastfeeding mom can safely lose up to about a pound per week, and which will really help kind of keep her milk supply in check. And then also just thinking about what type of foods that you're eating to really make sure that you're aiming for a nutrient-dense diet that will provide you with the energy that you need to not only breastfeed your baby, but also keep up with your baby as well. So think about foods, for example, that contain high amounts of omega-3s, like walnuts and eggs and salmon and basil and spinach and things like that. Another thing is really consistently eating throughout the day. So rather than eating three large meals, add some small snacks in there as well that have some protein in there, so that way you're not having this ups and downs, crashing and burning when your energy level is low because of, you know, your insulin and things like that. Eating lots of iron-rich foods can be super helpful. So if you're not a vegetarian, you know, lean cuts of beef, chicken, things like that, as well as adding in lentils and black beans and green leafy vegetables. And then also eating a diet that's rich in calcium and protein. So you can do yogurt and string cheese and smoothies if you have, you know, if you're eating cow dairy, for example. Otherwise, you know, your beans, your legumes, you can do almond milk, banana, things like that. And really just aiming to eat kind of a rainbow of colors every day, which, again, if you are eating nutrient-dense food, it's going to really help your body work like a well-oiled machine, which will allow you to burn off some of that baby weight that you're trying to get rid of, but also really protect your milk supply. So I hope that that helps, and thanks for calling in your question. Bye-bye.
That wraps up today's episode. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions for our expert about today's show or the topics we discussed, call our Parent Savers hotline at 619-866-4775 or send us an email through our website, parentsavers.com, or Facebook page, and we'll answer your question in an upcoming episode. And don't forget to tune into Behind the Scenes Parent Savers Club to keep listening. Thanks for listening to Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.